It's My Little Underground. I'm Peter A, and we got Shayna Cleveland on the show talking about upcoming La Luce music, producers she's worked with over the years, her brand new phenomenal solo album Manzanita, what's misunderstood about rural neighborhoods, literature inspiring music, and so much more with the great, wonderful, talented soul that is Shayna Cleveland, and she's right here on My Little Underground. Shayna Cleveland, welcome to My Little Underground. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. This new solo album, Manzanita. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this album. It's gorgeous. It's phenomenal. It's very poetic. It's probably my favorite of your solo albums, but I have to go back and listen to your first two to give them a fair shake. But so far, it's probably my favorite. But
oh,
I want
you.
To, yeah, no problem. I want to pick your brain about some La Luce things, if you don't mind. So I think it was almost 2 years ago, you guys did the cover of The Female Species, Tale of My Lost Love, right? So how did you get familiar with this group, and what made you want to cover it? Were you asked to do it, or what's the story here?
Yeah, I kind of think for that one. I think so. That was, I feel like that was during the beginning of the pandemic, right? Like 2020, early 2020. I think our manager at the time just said, hey, you know, they saw some call from Numero Group to, you know, looking for people to cover the songs on the album. And no, we weren't familiar with it at the time, but we listened to the whole album, and that track that we covered was the one that stuck out to me the most as something that we could do justice to. And we just thought it was a cool project to kind of shine a light on this band that hadn't really been given their due in their time. So,
well, because I'm thinking like every artist that's that covers another artist is like a fan of them. So you weren't really familiar with them. That's cool, because
no.
When I'm listening to their music, well, we're discovering at the same time. So I want to thank you for putting me onto this group, even though you're discovering at the same time, right? So it sounds to me like it's almost like La Luce's music. You're almost cut from that cloth, and you've never heard of that band before. So that's kind of interesting to me.
I feel like I don't know if I would have wanted to do a cover of a band that I did know about. I feel like I never really do covers, and I feel like, you know, if there's a song that I love, I don't want to make another version of it. You know, I feel too precious about the one that exists. So I think it felt easier sort of to cover a song that I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah, you're almost like walking through like a, you know, a landmine field, or when covering a song, because then you might disappoint like fans and stuff like that. Ah, they didn't do it justice, or they did. Maybe that's a cynical point of view, but when it's done right, it's done right. You could probably attest to that.
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly been that disappointed fan. You know, I've heard a lot of covers that I've been like, ah, why did you bother doing this? You know, and I mean, I've certainly heard covers that have been great and cast like a fresh light on a song that I thought I already knew. And, it's tricky. So I've just kind of been like, I'll stay away from that for the most part.
Let me pick your brain about some of the producers that La Luce has worked with. And they're a bunch of heavy hitters. And you got Ty Siegel on Weirdo Shrine, probably my favorite La Luce album so far. You had Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. And then you had Adrian Young recently. So all of these people, what's your relationship like with them? And what are some of your biggest takeaways of working with them? Did they elevate your sound, or they compliment is a better word, compliment your sound? And what are some things that you've applied to all aspects of your artistry, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, they've all been really different experiences. I feel like I always learn a lot from whoever we're working with. I don't know my way around the studio. You know, I'm not somebody who really makes my own home recordings or anything like that. I'd like to be, but it's not important enough to me to like really spend the time to figure that out. So I do enjoy just being in the studio with a producer who's, you know, who's really experienced and really excited about what they're doing. And I feel like that applies to all three of those guys. With Ty, it was kind of like he was like, let's make basically like a live album, you know, like let's just like do, track everything live pretty much and just kind of try to get the energy of the band in that way. And then with Dan on Floating Features and Adrian on the self-titled album, it was more like it felt more like more of a production, I guess, for lack of a better word. I mean, these are all producers, but it just felt like there was a lot more going into fleshing the songs out above what they could possibly be live, you know. And so that was exciting to me, to just kind of see all those little tricks that really make an album kind of sparkle and come to life.
And I can say all of those albums have some sort of sparkle, like literally, like with Weirdo Shrine, there's a 3D cover. You put the glasses on, sparkle, sparkle, right? So
Yeah.
I still have those actually in my closet somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah, they still work. It's
I
yeah.
love those. I feel like that was such a, I mean, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I'm like, every time I find a copy of Weirdo Shrine in my closet, I'm like, ah, those 3D glasses, that was so sick. Did you know that you can use them for the video for You Disappear?
For real?
There's a 3D section of the video that you can use the 3D glasses for. And I still am like, ah, oh, this was so cool. I feel
Oh
like people
man.
don't even know about it, but yeah.
That's cool. That is cool. I got it. I'm gonna try that. When we get off here, I'm gonna definitely give that a whirl if I can find it. Because I know I
Yeah.
never took it out of the packaging. I kept it inside.
Oh,
So it
okay.
should be all right. It should be all right. It's almost freeing for you. Last thing on La Luz here, but it's almost freeing and selfless to kind of lend another outside agent, being a producer, to kind of help you with the band and kind of get an outsider's perspective on what your sound is. Did that do you feel like it's something that you would consider like in the future, or just kind of letting someone else say, okay, these are my thoughts on how we can help or elevate your sound.
Yeah, I think, well, so Lulu's just finished recording our next album actually, and that the original idea was that we were gonna go in and like just do an EP and then like maybe give it to somebody to totally remix and just like see what happens if we give, you know, this all these songs to somebody else to just like do whatever they want with them, you know, without our input. And then we ended up liking it so much that we were just like, oh no, this is an album. This is just gonna be an album, you know? And so we didn't do that, but we did work with a new producer who I feel like it was, yeah, it was cool. It was like we were kind of like, oh, let's work with this producer. You know, it's not like as big of a name as Dan or Adrian, you know, but we kind of thought we were just making this thing that we were gonna give to somebody else. So we were like, oh, you know, just work with this producer that seems cool, but we were not that familiar with, you know. And I feel like, yeah, we were just so surprised and stoked on what we made with this person that we were just like, okay, let's just keep doing this. This is sounding amazing. So I don't know. I'm just like, I feel like we've had really good luck with the people that we've worked with. And you know, certainly didn't know what to expect with Adrian because he had never worked with a band before. You know, he had worked with a lot of artists, you know, mostly in like hip hop, jazz, world music genres, but like he had never worked with certainly not a rock band. And like he said, like never a band before at all. So we were kind of like, all right, well, see what happens, you know. But I kind of like that feeling of just like being like, let's just take a chance on this collaboration and you know, see where it goes. I feel like we've never been disappointed yet, so.
Yeah, I was like surprised that he was doing it. I'm like, oh wow, let's see what's gonna happen here.
Yeah, we were
And I
surprised too. We
same.
were like, wait, do it? Okay. Like we asked him, but we weren't expecting a yes, so.
Wow, that's lovely. Now we're gonna pivot to you, Shayna. It's all about you. Your latest solo album, Manzanita, and I want to talk to you about some of my favorites. the album Closer, Walking Through Morning Dew, which is kind of who I am, really. I love the morning. I love the mist and all that stuff. When I went to Puerto Rico as a child, you know, there's nothing like a Caribbean morning and a sunrise, nothing like it. So here you're kind of talking about the change of the season, which is what I associate your music with, and La Luz and your solo work as well, and kind of like rebirth and spring in California. And is this your most creative season, do you feel?
I think that it's just so easy to be in California in the springtime. It's definitely the last season. It's just not even questionable. It's like, you know, summertime is beautiful, but sometimes it's way too hot, you know, and then you've got the threat of wildfires. And, you know, there's no honestly bad season here, but springtime to me is just like, it's the most just breathtaking, just kind of, yeah, that feeling of walking out in the morning and just, there's nothing like, you know, being like one of the first people out, you know, like these weird days when you for some reason have to get up way earlier than you ever had to, and you just walk on, you're like, man, the quality of light is just different, it's fresher, it feels so optimistic, you know, you feel like anything is possible in those moments of just like everything's fresh and new. So yeah, that song is really inspired by that feeling, and also by the birth of my son, which is, you know, a similar, just sort of like eye-opening, oh shit, like everything just changed and anything is possible, you know?
Yeah. Like when I'm listening to this, I, you know, from a nature standpoint, I'm seeing that. And from, you know, your life and your family life at the same time, like your new boy and new things are on the horizon, metaphorically and physically. There's really nothing like, because I don't have a green thumb, New York City boy, but like when I go outside during the springtime, just the smell and the sight of like flowers and plants and seeing the trees full of leaves, like there's nothing like it to me. Nothing like it. It's the best. It's the greatest time.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. speaking of something that I don't use as much as often, mayonnaise, beautiful song on here. And this is inspired by the works of author Richard Brautigan. Am I pronouncing that right?
Brautigan, yeah.
Brautigan, yeah. So do you think, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Hope maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll disagree. Do you think music can have the same effect that a book can have?
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's kind of, I studied poetry in school, and language is big for me. It's I feel like it, I just love the way that it can illuminate the world in a way that allows you to see things in a different way. And you know, you can have this, three people can have the same experience, and based on how it's recounted, it could just look completely different, you know. And I feel like music is capable of that too. I remember seeing when I was a kid, there was like, it was, I think it was an episode of it's like some show on PBS, like a kid show, and it was showing the same thing, but with different music, like the exact same scene. And it was like really ominous, scary music. And then it was really happy music. It was like showing an alligator walking down the street or something. But like, it was just like so amazing to me that the power over emotions, you know, the same exact thing happening, but different music, different words, you know, your feeling, your experience of that thing is like completely changed. I feel like music and language are both so transformative in that way, that's what sort of appeals to me about both of them.
I think that when you're reading a book and listening to like music in any sort of capacity, they give the listener or the reader agency. It opens up their imagination. So mm-hmm. I definitely feel that way. Like there's a certain commonality with books and music that I feel with, like, if I'm listening to Stereo Lab or even your music, I'm like, I'm seeing the things that is playing, you know, my mind is creating this image. And I, cause when I'm hearing your music and I'm reading the descriptions of some of your songs, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing mm-hmm. your house. I'm seeing bugs. I'm seeing plants. I'm seeing that. I'm seeing I'm seeing all that. And I think it's that's one thing that maybe, I don't know, maybe a lot of people think about, but both things are important to me, both mediums, and this is why I love both of them, literature and music, So
I think
yeah.
it makes sense. I think it makes sense that it would be more the easier and more possible for you to see yourself in an art form where everything's not, already there. Everything's not visible, like music and writing. It's yeah, you can see yourself in those situations because there's no one else there. The visuals aren't there. So you get to, I feel like in some ways it's like that's why they kind of tug at our emotions in that way, is we can really relate, we can really see ourselves in those places because no one else is there already,
Yeah, and it kind of helps because we live in an age of overstimulation of everything, right? So these mediums, music and literature, even though both inspire each other, they take you away from those screens and they let your mind work, which is awesome to me. Another one of my favorites on Manzanita is Mystic Mind, sonically too, because it has a little twang to it. I really love that. I think it's really, really cool. And you're painting this picture of rural life, right? So what are some things about living outside of a city to a more rural environment? What are some mis what are some elements of that are misunderstood, in your opinion?
It's interesting. Like we moved here from Los Angeles,
Yeah.
and we had lived in me and my partner Will had each lived in cities, different cities, throughout our lives, but never really in a small town. I grew up in a mid-sized town, but it wasn't like this, and I think like when we moved out here, I remember one of my friends saying, "Are you gonna buy a gun?" Like it was kind of like, oh no, you're gonna be out there in the wilderness, like you're gonna need a gun, and I mean that's real. Like probably most of my neighbors have guns, but like it's just kind of this idea that that I just think people are afraid of what they're not familiar with, and that just goes both ways. I think that like coming from the city and moving out here, I was really able to see how that was happening on both sides, like how my neighbors out here were so freaked out by, the idea of like a big city and like, and so susceptible to misinformation because of that, because of that fear and that ignorance. And but the same also, goes for my friends in the city and me when I lived in the city. Like for example, I think that, if I would have seen somebody driving down the street with like a Trump sticker on their truck, when I lived in LA, I would have been like, that person sucks, like that person probably hates me without even knowing me. And like, maybe they even want to like cause me harm. I don't know where I would have gone with it, but like I just didn't know people like that. So like moving out here, it's like one of our nicest neighbors is like lifetime NRA member, like Trump's of 2020. I'm like, but he's a super nice dude, like just like really helpful. I know he would like be there for us if we needed him, so that kind of thing. It's like it's just nice to be reminded that the world is more complex and nuanced than like what we were being shown in media, and also just like these fears that sort of build up over time. I think when you're in like one environment for a long time, like either be your a rural environment, it's just nice to know that like I don't know that like yeah, things aren't so simple. To me, that's been I don't know how to like sum up that misconception, but just like people not really like yeah, both sides sort of being afraid of each other, and just out of like ignorance, in a way that's comforting, in a way it's terrifying,
We
to
all have
see.
more in common with each other than we realize.
For sure.
Because
Totally. Yeah. I mean,
Kate,
like we're all people, you know, then like being a person is hard, you know, we're all susceptible to the same shitty things, you know, that could happen in life. I mean, some of us obviously susceptible different set of shitty things, you know, based on like your like level of privilege. But, you know, in the end, it's just ridiculous to see like how people are just so played by the media, you know, to be afraid of each other. It just like keeps people down.
Have you seen that show, The Last of Us, or played the video game?
I haven't yet.
Oh
No.
man, it's everything we're talking about. Like,
Is it good? I'm scared to see it.
it's phenomenal.
Oh
It
man,
is
all right.
phenomenal. Like, it tugs at the emotional heartstrings a little bit, but it's because at the end of the day, there's no cable news, right? The people have one thing in common to survive, right? That's what it is. But it's a fascinating watch. Absolutely fascinating watch. So this album, correct me if I'm wrong, side A, you recorded while you were pregnant, and then side B, you finished it out after giving birth.
Well, side A, I wrote while I was pregnant, and B, it was written after birth. Yeah. So it was just in the writing.
So both of those phases of this album, what were some things like, obviously about, you're pregnant and you're giving birth. How did those two elements, being pregnant and after giving birth, affect you artistically, like as a musician?
I think that while I was pregnant, I was just surprised by just how much of a psychedelic and mysterious time it was. It just felt to me like just so cool and strange. And you know, after my son was born, I think, you know, it was a different feeling, you know, that like some of that mystery was gone. Like he was here, I could see him. You know, I think that just that like the state of being pregnant to me was just really inspiring because it was just the strangest time of my life, you know. It was just kind of like, okay, like I'm just gonna surrender to that's all you can do, you know. You can't control much of anything in pregnancy, you know, like you can like not drink alcohol, not smoke cigarettes, but like, you know, so much is just left to nature and chance and totally out of your control. And to me, that was an exciting place to be as an artist. I was just kind of like, all right, I'm just going to surrender, you know, my body to nature and see what happens. And so I think that a lot of the songs that I wrote for Side A were just a little stranger. And Side B is maybe a little bit more, you know, sort of domestic and yeah, just not as much in that sort of state of deep mystery.
So, like, you as a mom now, and you have a family, that person, that NRA lifer, you are more likely to see what you have in common with them, that because life is too short for the differences, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, it doesn't matter. Well, some things matter, but like, you see them as a person first because you've got this little human right with you. You know what I mean? So it's almost like you're trying to set a good example. You know, just trying to, like, see the good and most of the good in most people, right?
Yeah, I'm certainly that way. I feel like I was just talking to my friend about this the other day because she was saying like I grew up just thinking that the world was so great and people were so good, and like I feel like it's been this awakening to me as I get older. I see like the problems with our culture and I see all these problems and people, and I feel like I'm like, man, I feel the opposite. I feel like when I grew up, like I grew up with stories that my mom told me about horrible things that had happened to her family, you know, my Black family in Sound, Michigan. And like she just grew up, she was very straight with me about all the racism that she'd experienced and that our family had experienced. And so I was under no illusion that people were great and everything was great, you know, from like a young age. But I feel like as I get older, it just like I see the value in assuming the best of people, you know, until they prove me wrong. And just because it makes it easier to be alive. And I think also when you do make that assumption, people tend to fulfill that, you know, like if you're sort of coming at a relationship like assuming that somebody is good, they're more likely to fall in line with that. They're more likely to be good to you. So I don't know. And obviously there's maddening, you know, stuff that I see every day living in a small town, but I do find it's just sort of easier, yeah, to go about the world that way. And definitely the mindset that I would like to teach my son, you know.
Yeah, like as you know, people of color, like we kind of have a force field up, right? Due to obvious things that are happening, that's been happening. But at the same time, there is this, you know, you want to have this optimism about people, again, seeing people as people, right? First, before anything. So I think
Yeah.
that's a good, you know, that's what I live my life by, you know, at least I try to, you know what I mean? So tell me this about touring as a musician now. Do you have a new perspective, be it good or bad, you know, after giving birth and news of rising visa costs, battling and defeating cancer and the financial risks of touring as a musician? Do you have a new positive or negative perspective on this?
I feel like, yeah, I just everything that makes it harder to do this just makes it sweeter for me, you know. I think that, like, yeah, just like everything that makes it a little bit more difficult to get out on tour and to play shows for people just makes the experience of doing it just so good. It just makes me appreciate it more, you know. So I don't know. I think like when I became a mom, I was like, oh yeah, it's no problem. Like, I'm definitely gonna keep doing what I'm doing. You know, I was sort of like, you know, maybe sort of naive, and it's obviously more difficult, but like it was never a question. I was just like, yes, like that's what I want to show my son, that I'm like following my dreams, you know, and that you can do that. But then yeah, cancer, I was just like, all right, if get out of this, it's gonna be so good to play. You know, it was one of my first thoughts the whole time. I was just like, all right, you know, if I come out of the other side of this and I'm able to start touring again and like everything works out or whatever, it's like, how that's just gonna feel so incredible, you know, to stand up there again. And it has. It's been like so good that I had to stop into the audience after shows because I was like, I can't, I get too emotional, you know. Like people come up to me and just, and people, some of our fans were so emotional too, you know, like because they had just seen what I'd gone through, and they, you know, people would just say like, I'm just so glad that you're here and stuff. And I can't hear anything like that without just starting to tear up a little bit, because it's so meaningful to me. I don't know. I think like the sort of double whammy of becoming a mom and then having cancer and then becoming a cancer survivor, like all in the span of, you know, a couple years or whatever. It was just like, it just made me so sensitive. And I'm just like, but you know, and you know, I think that like I love it though. I'm just like, yes, I'm fully experiencing everything. I'm not holding back, you know, and like, yeah, playing shows just feels so good because I feel like I'm able to be open in a way that maybe I would have been a little afraid of being before. You know, I'm able to be like, to just really give it everything that I have.
Yeah, that's why I'm so happy, like, to have this moment with you, like different, like all this stuff that you went through and everything like that. The fact that you're here right now, we're talking, and you have a solo album, a new La Luz album coming, and you're back on the road, is such a beautiful thing. I'm so happy to see it. All the crap, darkness in the world, like, this is a good shining light.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, the new album is Manzanita. Shayna, thank you so much for coming on My Little Underground. You know, this is your time. Plug away. Tell people where to find your things.
My name's Shayna Cleveland. I don't know. You can just Google it. Manzanita out March 10th. Yeah, I will be on tour for this record. I'm going to the East Coast in April. This is not announced yet, actually, but it will be by the time this comes out. So I'll be on the East Coast, Midwest in April. I'll be on the West Coast in May, opening for Shannon and the Clams. And I'll probably be on the West Coast again in July. Also, some other stuff. that I'm like, is that going to be announced yet or not? Also, some of the lose dates, I'll just say that, but I can't say anything else because I don't know when it's going to be announced. But pretty good.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Shane. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. It was great to talk to you.